Hello and welcome to episode 10 of Smash Pads Gamers Without Borders. I am Patrick Mifflin alongside Teresa Sammons, Lee Lam, and Kayla Owen. And tonight we don't really have a consistent topic of discussion for the podcast, and that's going to happen because this is a corner of gaming where there's a lot to talk about, but not as active of a news cycle as you would experience with, you know, more mainstream coverage. So on weeks like this, we're just going to shoot the shit about whatever we happen to be doing within the retro gaming import DIY sphere at any given time. So, Lee, do you want to get us started?
Long story short, don't have dogs. A couple weeks ago, my wife's dog managed to get a hold of my DSi XL, the Red Mario 25th Anniversary Edition, and drop it in a water bowl. And I am like Captain Anal Retentive when it comes to my video game consoles, my
hard
Blu-rays, all of that stuff. Like, I keep that stuff in mint fucking condition. And so it frustrated me tremendously that this happened, especially because I've had that DS. God, I don't even know whenever it originally came out.
And it has again, to have been at least a decade.
Yeah, at least.
God, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, so I've had it that long and, you know, kept it in perfect condition. And you know, there are some people that'll make the argument like, well, you can play, you know, DS games on your 3DS. They look like shit when you let the 3DS stretch them out, or if you play them at native resolution, it's so damn small, it still looks like shit.
The size of a postage stamp.
Yeah. So, you know, and you know, obviously the DS has just a tremendous, you know, library, and there's still probably, I think in my backlog, like 20 games that I want to finish from the DS. And just because, again, I like to have it, I keep this stuff in good condition. And, you know, Nintendo's like handhelds last forever, with the exception where you might have to change a battery out, you know.
But they're not dog proof.
No, they're not dog proof. So, you know, what I ended up doing was taking it apart. I was able to make sure it dried out. And then when I put it back together, everything worked fine. The top screen looked great, but the bottom screen was basically like grayscale, and you could see where the water had just seeped in. So I was like, okay, you know, I don't know how I feel about this, you know, because one of the things I've been having trouble with is sourcing a screen. Like, there are tons of them out there, but I don't know if they're any good. And all of the sellers that I've been able to reach out to, frankly, have just not been that forthcoming or helpful. So I said, you know what?
Or overstated the quality of the device.
Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to roll the eBay dice, and I'm going to, you know, check out some of the ones that people have for sale. So I do that, and it's horrible. So, like, I buy one where the guy says, no, this thing is like new. Screens are mint. I get it. Screens are scratched to shit. There are, like, actual, like, gouges in the top screen and all this other stuff.
What?
Jesus Christ.
And the guy is like, nope, it's, you know, so I say, hey, man, listen, I need to return this. This is not in the condition that you said it was. And he's like, nope, this is the finest condition one you could find on eBay. And I said, the only person that would think this was in fine condition would be Ray Charles. Like, are you serious right now? And so he like stonewalls me. And so I just basically go, you know, screw this. And I have eBay, you know, initiate the return.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I hadn't even gotten that far to like, I actually don't even like giving like people negative feedback for that, but I obviously need to change my stance. So, and then I order another one, right? Same deal. And like, I go through this process where like, I ask the seller, hey, what is the condition of this thing? Like, you say this thing is near mint. You say the screens are fine. Can you send me pictures? Yada, yada, yada. I'll do all that. Second person, same exact thing. Nope. It is in fantastic condition. These screens are mint. Okay. Get it? Screens are not mint. They're not as fucked up as the last one, but there's scratches all over them. And the whole thing that I'm trying to avoid is I don't want, like, I could care less about the shell, to be perfectly honest, because I'm not looking at the outside when I'm playing the game, you know? But
yeah.
It's the screens, particularly like, And the other thing that I've noticed is just kind of going through this exercise is a lot of times the top screens for the most part are fine. Obviously it's the touch screen that's not. Mm-hmm. And like, so I go through the same process. Hey man, this is not where it is. This is not the condition that you described. And the guy fights with me like bullshit. I don't offer returns, blah, 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 blah. So I have to get eBay involved again. And so when I do this the second time, eBay hits me with this notice where they're like, you know, it looks like you might be abusing the eBay guarantee. And, you know, basically saying like, you need to make sure that, you know, you're not an abusive buyer. And I'm like, the fuck? Okay. So I actually call eBay and go, what the fuck? And the lady on the phone is like, you know, she's able to go through my history, go through my return history and goes, no, I can see exactly why you said you didn't want these. And these are not in the condition that was promised. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah. And so, like a lot of times when you do that, they let you upload photos
right
of the damage or whatnot too. So that would be easy to see.
Exactly. And so that was the thing. So I'm going and like, so what they do in their dispute process is that they basically just make you wait. And I don't know if the reason that they make you wait is because they want to see if the other side cracks or something. I don't know. Or maybe you guys can work it out. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter to me. So, you know, bottom line is that they do, you know, they eBay does right by me and, you know, gets me the return. So I'm like, okay, fine. I order a third one. This time it is supposed to be brand new. It's in a box, but the box is ripped, right? Of the 25th anniversary edition.
Uh-oh.
Pay top dollar for this. The guy says, no, I've never even opened it. I said, okay.
No.
And it's from a guy who sells video game stuff, like vintage video game stuff. So, you know, I'm looking through his, items for sale. And it's like, you know, he's got like a 32X. He's got a fucking Sega Nomad. And like, he's got a lot of stuff that is in box. Like, so I'm looking through all of these auctions that he has. And it's like, okay, you know what? If this guy says that it's good, then I would imagine that it is, because this is somebody that makes a living selling these older video game systems. So, you know, if somebody is not, you know, is going to actually report the condition properly, it's going to be this guy. Well, that was a fucking mistake. So I get the, you know, so I pay for it. And again, I paid top dollar. I'm not going to fucking say how much it was, but it was super expensive. Ugh. And I get the thing and the box looks exactly like it is in the picture. I open it up and then I open like the 25th anniversary Mario edition came with Mario Kart in the box. So like you have, there's like this outer shell box that you open and then the DSi XL is inside. And you know, then it's a typical way that they used to be packaged. Paperwork on top, you lift the paperwork up. And the, you know, the system is underneath it in that weird sort of like plasticky cloth packaging that Nintendo puts all their systems in.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Too. Yeah. I don't know what exactly it is. I'm looking at one right now. But so the way that those are supposed to show up is the DSi is supposed to be inside one of those things. But when I lift up the paperwork, the DSi is sitting on top of it. There are like handprints, fingerprints, and all this stuff on top of the shell, which I was like, okay, you know what? If the guy looked at it, you know, for like the DSi XLs all had a really, really shiny coating on them. So they just absorbed fingerprints, just like the DS Lite did, like the black version. So I was like, you know, that's not a big deal.
Super glossy.
Yeah, I was like, that's not a big deal. So let me look. I open it up. Holy shit, the thing's scratched to fuck. Not only is it scratched to fuck, they're on the old DSIs and the DSs and the DSi XLs. If any of you guys have them, I'm sure after you've noticed after the years, some of the paint around the edges of the D-pad wears out. And this had severe wear. It was like a circle around the D-pad where the paint had essentially, or not the paint, but the coloring from the plastic had come off. And I'm like, this dickhead sold this as new? What the fuck? So, you know, same thing. I actually call eBay because I get this stupid warning again that's like, you're being an abusive buyer. And like, I'm talking to this poor woman and obviously her first language is not English. And I'm like, and I'm just mad. And like, I don't yell at customer service representatives. I was in customer service literally my entire life until a year ago. And I'm just like, why are you guys, can you find out why this notice is being thrown up at me? Because I'm not an abusive buyer. I'm not like buying something and then swapping it out. Like I even took a picture of the serial number from the box and the serial number on the DSi XL, and I had them in the same photo. So, like, you know, I upload all my photos, do all that. I'm on the phone with this lady, and I'm just going, why are you guys doing this? I've been on eBay for 21 years. I've never had any negative feedback. Like, but this is like the third time in a row where I have a seller completely misrepresent the condition of this. And she, you know, she agrees with me, you know, I'm so sorry, yada, yada, yada. She tells me to put in, a buyer dispute case so I can get a return. Because, of course, none of these people say they'll accept returns.
Yeah.
And I get the response from the seller that's like, so wait, I assume, wait a minute. This is literally what they said. So I assume, wait a minute, you opened something that was new. Why didn't you order something that was used from us? And I'm like, oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me. So basically,
this guy's running a scam.
Essentially, yeah. He's passing this shit off to say that it's new. So I have the return request in, and I have to wait two more days until eBay will officially step in. But I think I'm pretty much done with dealing with the platform for this kind of stuff. And if it's like a game or something like that, but anything expensive like this, you just, like, this is the first time I've ever had a negative experience with eBay. And then all of a sudden it's three times in a row. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and it all comes from people like misrepresenting what the condition of things are. Because if they had said, look, near mint, there's a couple of scratches. Okay, fine. But the guy said specifically it was new, just that the box was torn because he wanted to get over on somebody. And the thing that I don't understand is, if somebody is looking for something that as old as this thing is and looking for a particular condition, why would you think they wouldn't check it?
Yeah, please.
You know? And so at the same time, there's another eBayer on there who's got the same exact system, except this one is completely new. He's like, it's sealed. He sent me pictures of the boxes and everything. I feel like I'm close to locking down a deal with him. And then some other guy posts another new system and a new DSi XL Mario system and posts it for $799.
Nah. $799. What the absolute crucified fuck.
Is that box only?
No, like brand new, brand new inbox, never been opened, $799 for a DSi XL, the Red Mario Edition.
Oh, wait, not $799.
No, $799. So, yeah, so we're talking like mortgage money, right?
Oh, and he's not even offering free shipping. What the actual?
Oh, you found it?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because right now, eBay's kind of on my shit list as a seller. Yeah,
so this is what kills me, right? So I'm going through this whole process, and like one of the ones that I was, you know, working on a deal with the guy, as soon as that one that got posted for $799, the guy that I'm dealing with goes, oh, I'm just going to up the price on you $200 because this other seller is out there. Now, mind you, I've been going through this since like the day after Christmas. So this has been like a month, and like this same unit. Cause Teresa, if you look on there, there's another one now that's listed for $575. That was the one that I was going to buy. Obviously not for that money. You know, I felt like we were at a decent deal. And then of course this other guy posts one and says $799. So this dickhead's like, well, I can definitely get more for this. So I'm going to, and he upped the price $225. So
anybody like, can, well, it's not there anymore, but anybody can post anything for the fucking price they want. Yeah, it's exactly. It doesn't mean it's
right. And so that's the thing that pissed me off. Like I was trying to like reason with the guy. Like, look, man, you and I started talking on December 26th.
Yeah.
It is now January 26th and you have not sold this thing. Mm-hmm. I am willing to, you know, I was like, I know what this thing retailed for. It was $150. I'm basically offering you double than that, you know, because I was going to pay $300 for a new one, like a moron. But I was like, holy this is important shit. To me. Yeah. So I'm like, I'll give you $300 for it. And he was like, yeah, that sounds good. And then he sees this guy posted for $799. He goes, no, now it's $575. And you're still getting a deal because look at this other guy's price. And I was like, man, fuck you.
So, no way, man, because like in November, one sold for $499. And in December, one sold for $449.
Fine, man.
Yeah. Oh, I was looking on sold.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Hell yeah! Put that sort on there, that filter on there. Sort by sold. That's how you want to find out how to price your stuff. But don't sell on eBay right now because they're taking between 21% and 25% in fees from me. And
what?
I'm out. Yeah, they changed it. So now that PayPal isn't there anymore, it comes out of your bank account and goes into your bank account. And I sold a CD for like $2.79. Mm-hmm. They took fucking 25% of my sale.
Holy shit.
I know. And then what did we sell? Oh, we sold some Skylanders cards that my kid didn't want. And they took 21 point something percent. It was almost 22%. And that's a lot. I mean, that's
so
really
that's
a
also
lot.
that must be also why you, like, now everything on eBay's prices are inflated because they got to make up for taking a quarter of it.
Yeah, I know. And I'm so conflicted because I like to go there and buy stuff as opposed to Amazon, because sometimes eBay sellers, they get that shit to me faster than Amazon can. So
some of these people have lost the fucking plot. So
they have.
What happened to PayPal on eBay?
Well, apparently I could have not opted to do bank account because my brother hasn't so far, but he hasn't tested anything because he hasn't sold anything lately. So he's going to test whenever he has his next sale and see how much they take, but he's keeping his PayPal stuff. You could still pay, but before I would, I'd sell something and like on the 17th or whatever of every month, they would plunk that money into my PayPal account. And on top of it, like on the 30th or whenever it was due, they would take my seller fees out. So, it was a little messy that way too. Because if you had already withdrawn everything into your bank account, then you get hit with your eBay fees a few days later and you're like, oh shit. So it's different now. It's different. So yeah. So right now, I was looking around for something and all the prices are a little high on eBay.
Yeah. Here's one that's blue. Here's one that's blue. DSi XL blue. Guy wants $379 for it.
God damn.
Yeah. So that explains why I'm seeing that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's pertinent for retro gamers. So
yeah. There's no retro game store around me. There's like one, but they're a game store. They're not a retro game store. So like they were the first place I checked out. And so now it's leading me down this road where I think I'm just going to end up Frankensteining my DS. Yeah. So I'm going to buy one, which God, I probably can't even find one in shit condition for less than $100 these days. Maybe I'll check out Facebook Marketplace, but since I know my touchscreen still works, like when I plugged everything back in and the touchscreen worked just fine. It's just the LCD underneath it was fucked up. So because that's the thing, the way the DSi XL works is that there's two for the bottom screen. It's actually two screens glued together. It's the touchscreen up top and then the LCD below it. So my touchscreen is functioning fine. So I think what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to at least try and find a bottom LCD screen from someone that's, at least of, good quality. There's, maybe an OEM. I don't know. If I can't, then I think what I'm going to do is because I'm running into two situations with this thing. My hope is because I cleaned the board after I took it apart and dried it out and everything. My hope is that, there's nothing on the board that could have fried it or anything like that. But if there is, I could get a new screen put in this thing and it could die a couple of weeks later. So I think what I may just do is still go with that screen replacement first, because I think I could probably get a new screen for $10 or $20 and just try that. And if it dies on me, then it is what it is. And if it does die on me, I think, just go out and buy one, probably from Facebook Marketplace instead of fucking eBay. And then just take
Facebook Marketplace has been great to me.
Yeah. And also check OfferUp. And don't forget your good old Craigslist.
Oh, Craigslist around here is liable to get you shot.
Yeah, so, I guess it depends. We picked up, I'll tell you about it later when it's my turn.
But yeah, so that's what I'm planning on doing is just, I'm going to try this screen replacement and hopefully that works. But if the DSi dies down the line because of the board, then I will just go out and buy another DSi XL, take its motherboard out of the old shell, put it into mine. And then just, hopefully, get everything working right. Because the one problem I noticed when I was taking this apart is just like any other Nintendo system, but it's a lot worse. Like I've taken apart GBAs. I've taken apart GBA SPs, obviously the old DMG Game Boys I've taken apart a PSP. Nintendo loves these tiny, tiny, super fragile ribbon cables. And there's like four specific ones in the DS, DSi XL where I was like, fuck. So I would prefer not to have to do the motherboard swap if I don't have to, but I have to, you know, if I have to, that's what I do. And then worst case scenario, if I know, and I know this because I'm into watches, I have quite a few watches. And I have quite a few watches that are from Japan. The Japanese actually, for the most part, treat their shit way better than Americans. And so I could find like, you know, a used Japanese system or something like that, that says, you know, screens are mint condition or whatever. And it will show up that way. So, and, you know, if I get a DSi LL from Japan, you know, those will still play every DS game that I have on cartridge. So it's just that, you know, the menus won't be in English. So, you know, that maybe that'll be the route I go. I don't know, but it's still just been an absolutely frustrating experience. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, Teresa, because I was sitting here going, you know, can't sleep at night because I've had a headache for 3 fucking weeks. So I'm sitting up at night trying to find like, oh, let me just see if I can find a DS, you know, and because there's so much stuff I want to play. And then also because you guys know how much I love Dragon Quest, that's the only place that I feel like I can comfortably play Dragon Quest 4, 5, and 6, you know? So. Yeah. It's kind of like, fuck, you know, that, and on top of that, you know, you have stuff like Ghost Trick and a lot of other these games, the old Advance Wars games, stuff like that, that never came over to the 3DS. You know, I have all of those cartridges. So I this is stuff that I've been, you know, especially since we've been locked down, I've been, you know, working through. And so, to, you know, like, in fact, you guys remember when I was saying I was going to replay Chrono Trigger? I was at the end of Chrono Trigger when the dog did that shit. I was playing it on the fucking DSi. Yeah. So yeah, my Chrono Trigger cartridge looks hilarious. That's a different story. Like the whole label got super waterlogged. So yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so like I said, I got some options, but it just is really driven home like how much I wish we had a retro store, and frankly, how I just wish people would be fucking honest. You know, your shit's fucked up, don't ask for top dollar. Because the thing is I do worry about it with eBay, where it's like, are they just going to look at me and go like, this guy's returned like the last 3 things that he's bought because he said the descriptions didn't match. And I know most of their shit is done by computer. And like when I talked to like with that one where the previous one, not the one I'm dealing with right now that I have to wait till the 29th for, but the one that I dealt with previously where they're like, yeah, the screens are mint. You know, I talked to the eBay representative. She was like, oh yeah, I see these pictures. This is most definitely not mint. You know, and, you know, that guy was just like, well, how do I know you sent me back the original system? Because what if it's a different serial number? I was like, well, A, it's not. But I guess B, if you're worried about that, then maybe you should have recorded it. And that was why with this new, you know, with the one where I bought that was complete in box. That's why I whipped out the fucking box. Because if you look at the way the Mario Kart ones come is that the outside box is basically a sleeve. And the inside has the serial number and all that jazz. So, and I pulled that thing out, flipped that piece of shit that was beat up, and took a picture of it and attached it to the eBay thing. Because the seller was really trying to tell me, well, it was new when we sent it to you. And the funny part was, is it had been delivered to my house at 4:34, right? That afternoon. I got off work at 5:22. The first thing that I did was grab the box off of my porch, open it up, and then called eBay 10 minutes later. So in the back and forth of this guy there, you know, first they were like, well, how do we know you didn't switch this out? Like, okay, well, here are the serial numbers. Well, how do we know you didn't just scratch this screen into that? So then I took a picture up close because I'd already submitted all this stuff, but took a picture up close of the D-pad. And I was like, this is the kind of wear that happens over years. I couldn't have done this in 15 minutes. You know, and it's just like, but the fact that I even have to go fucking through it is annoying.
It very much is. Jeez.
So yeah, in the end, maybe don't have a dog. I think is what I'm getting at. Don't get a dog.
Oh my god.
Wow. So apart from that, are you doing any other retro gaming or
anything? Yes, I am. I finally finished actually it was a couple of weeks ago now. I finished Link Between Worlds.
Nice.
Which was fantastic. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Cannot believe that I didn't play it sooner.
It's
but you
just
know,
great.
Yeah, it's like I told you guys, and it was more just about like, shit, man. You know, this is the first game was perfect. I don't want to, you know, why are they going back to the well? That kind of thing. But yeah, so, you know, again, thoroughly enjoyed it. I think I probably put maybe like 18, 19 hours into it. And I didn't do everything. I didn't collect all the heart containers. I don't have time for that shit.
It's okay. You don't have to.
I do not have time for that. But no, again, like, you know, really, really enjoyed it. And then after that, you know, I went and I picked back up Dragon Quest VIII. And I think I've probably at this point now clocked about 30 hours into it. So I'm probably, if I can get a DSi, you know, by the time I finish Dragon Quest, I'm probably going to fucking fire up Ghost Trick and finally finish that and knock out a few of the Ace Attorney games. So I can't play anything on my regular consoles right now. Nathan, my son, is playing Smash all the time. Or my wife is watching something. So being able to sit in there with them and then just, you know, play on a handheld is just where it's at. Oh, actually, I take that back. So the next thing I'm going to jump into is not Ghost Trick. I'm going to go play Phantasy Star 2.
Oh.
I was planning on doing that. I've never beaten Phantasy Star 2. I've always gotten really close, just never beat it. So
that game is violent.
Oh, I know it is. Oh, I remember. Hell, I remember. I mean, I don't have my copy anymore. Well, shit, actually, yes, I do. I still have my Genesis copy of Phantasy Star 2. You know, I came with a 110-page strategy guide.
Yep.
You know? So, yeah. So that's one of those things. So, but yeah, so that's what I'm going to do. And then, I'll probably do something lighter like Ghost Trick or something. I'm trying to knock out, for the most part, especially after, you know, by the time I'm done with Dragon Quest VIII, I'll probably put, you know, 50, 55 hours into it. So I want to play a couple of things that are short. And I know Phantasy Star is hard, but it's not that long. And then, like I said, I'll do, you know, Ghost Trick has been one of those games that I've had since it came out. I just never played it. So that's next on the list, I think.
Is Suikoden Terracrius in there somewhere?
No, it is not. What system is it? Is that on the DS?
Yeah.
I don't think I have that.
Yeah, let me just pull that up.
I'm sure probably
definitely flies under the radar.
Probably like $300. It's $50 on Amazon.
Yeah, it's between $55 and $70 on eBay.
Oh shit! So. It's an SRBG. Why haven't I seen this? I'm a huge Suikoden fan. Why haven't I seen this? Oh man, some of these DS prices are. Wow, Infinite Space is $100. But Radiant Historia is only 24. I guess that's because they brought it out on 3DS.
Yeah, they did the remake and that just tanked the price.
Yeah, Valkyrie Profile Covenant of the Plume is only 28. Shit, no, I will look this up, Pat. I had no idea.
Yep.
So how is it overall as like a Suikoden entry? Because I loved Suikoden 1 and 2. Those are some.
I consider it one of the better ones.
Okay.
Like the first two games I didn't really care for because it was pretty much just mashing X until everything's dead. Whereas the later games actually add a considerable amount of forced nuance to that. Like it has the depth and makes you use it. And I think Terracrius fits well in there. So yeah.
This is on my list now, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
How long is it?
I don't remember exactly.
Man, you know, it's funny going down this rabbit hole when I was just trying to find that red DS because red's my favorite color. I have that red Wii that they put out at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I don't think I got rid of it.
Was that before or after they pulled the online?
Oh, that was before. I bought it when it came out. It was like 2010.
Okay.
And I'm almost 100% positive I still have it. I don't get rid of systems.
Yeah.
Maybe because I remember later I bought a Wii to hack it. And I don't know if that's because I got rid of the Wii. Because you know what's funny? It's very possible I got rid of that fucking thing now that I'm thinking about it. Because, again, red's my favorite color. So if they make a system in red, I'm buying that shit. But I hated the Wii. I fucking hated it. I hated the waggle. I hated all that shit. So I could totally see myself. I'll have to go look in my closet now. But I can totally see myself being like, fuck this piece of shit. I don't care if it is red. It sucks. And trading it in, you know. Now I'm curious. Shit, all right. But yeah, I'm going to look into this, Pat. I had no idea they did a Did one on the DS. No shit. God, I wish that's one of those. This is one of those games I wish would come back.
It is a proper Suikoden as well. So
I go, why did it have to be stuck at Konami?
Well, Falcom tried to buy it, but I think Nintendo was in on that conversation as well, and then Konami at the 11th hour decided, no, we're going to hold on to this.
Yeah, like I said, it's sitting here, it's $50 on Amazon. That's not bad. I mean, obviously, it was probably $30 when it came out, but
yeah, I forget what I paid for mine.
Yeah, I'm sure the DS game market for stuff like this isn't too hot, but who knows? It looks good.
Yeah, I had a feeling you'd enjoy it, so.
Okay, shit, yeah, I'm going to check that out. Why in the, oh, that's something else, by the way. Just when I was kind of going down this rabbit hole, so my hands hurt like a bitch for my 3DS XL.
Uh-huh.
And somebody was like, you should get a 2DS, because I don't play anything in 3D. I don't like it. It makes my head hurt.
Yeah.
On top of having the fucking headache for 3 weeks. Somebody's like, you should get a 2DS because the ergonomics on it are much better. It's much easier to hold. And I guess the 2DS XL got discontinued like a year ago.
It did.
But you would still think that, because I remember with a lot of other systems where they were still lying around. And plus, who's going to make a run on, you know, the 2DS, 3DS lineup anyway? Like, it's ubiquitous. They've been fucking everywhere. Wrong.
Yeah.
Again, going to like looking where people would want it. Like, just to get the plain like blue, the black and turquoise one, you're paying like a minimum of like $220.
Yep.
Which is, man, just like, what guys, in the fuck?
Well, COVID changed everything. So yeah, a lot of us, you know, we had our shit. We already had our hardware. But then other people who are now stuck at home are rediscovering, because they have the time, they're rediscovering some of their old passions. And for a lot of it, for a lot of people, it's gaming. So it is hard as fuck to find stuff now. You guys remember when I was looking around for Wii's, it was getting almost comically hard to find decent prices in my area. Yeah. And I'm in the third largest fucking metropolitan area in the whole nation. It shouldn't be this hard.
That is true. There's definitely been a run on everything lately. Like, even just like, I'm a big, I used to be really into like headphones. I got my Endgame headphones. So I have no reason to buy anything else. But like, I was just tooling around looking for a cheaper pair to play with my, like, since I'm doing a lot of gaming on my portables, I'm just trying to find something, because I've got a tiny little amp that I use when I have my portable games going, because I have nicer headphones, and it does make a difference. And so I was just looking at a pair of the Sennheiser HD 599s, which I think they normally retail for $200, but usually around Black Friday or those times, they always go on sale at least once a year for $100. And if you're going to spend $100 on a headphone, there's no better pair to buy than that. They're pretty fucking phenomenal. They're right at like the audiophile edge.
Right.
They're not, you know, full on into like, you know, you got to have an amp, you got to have this, you got to have that. You know, you can power them with a phone or a you know, a DS and all that, and they'll still get decently loud and they sound really good for what they are. I guess during Black Friday, you know, when they went on sale, Sennheiser has not been able to replenish them yet. They are sold out everywhere, and it's January. It's the end of January. And it was the same kind of thing. Like, they just did not expect that much demand. And it's to that point, Teresa, because people are stuck at home.
Oh, my God. And then, microphones like Yeti, Snowball, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Finding microphones this spring and webcams. Holy shit.
Yeah. They wanted it
with. Yeah.
Yeah. My kid's school wanted a fucking webcam. We're like, we can't fucking find one.
No, so you can't. And if you didn't already have one, you were shit out of luck.
Yeah.
But one of my friends works at Shure, which is a competitor of Sennheiser.
Yes.
They also Shure makes really great good microphones. Shit. Yeah.
They make great microphones.
Well, I got a little Yeti Snowball for a while, a Snowball Ice, so it wasn't like the super good one. But you know what? It was like $20, and I got it off of somebody's front porch and left them $20 in the mailbox. So it worked out for a while, because I have a kid who does music, and it was really hard transitioning from regular lessons to online lessons. and his tutor was having a hard time hearing. So my dude at Sure, he's like, I'm going to do my best to get you this headset, but all our shit is stuck out on the water because of, you know, the COVID. There was COVID at all the ports, and they would have to shut the port down whenever somebody got COVID. That's why we had a lot of trouble getting stuff. But it did. It took months before we could get a better microphone. And it's also good for podcasting, but, you know, not using it for that.
Yeah, we got Nathan just a shitty little web camera, because that was the thing. The teachers were like, we're going to count him absent if he doesn't turn on his webcam. And he's not using a laptop. He's using a desk. He's using a desktop.
They don't provide Chromebooks for you guys?
No.
Shit. I mean, they're not great, but shit.
I mean, if they would, I wouldn't take it. We don't need it. We're fine.
Well, you have to, especially for standardized testing, because they won't authenticate you through our school district. Yeah, for the standardized tests, unless you're on school district equipment. So part of the year he was using, you know, like a little Lenovo bullshit thing that we got from Costco. But it didn't work out because he was also sitting there playing Minecraft with his buddies instead of actually.
Yeah, see, that's what we've. So speaking of dealing with the retro stuff, yeah, my kid's been up there like researching stuff, playing Minecraft. I've caught him so many times fucking around when he's supposed to be doing schoolwork.
Oh yeah.
To the point where I'm like, I'll just sit up here with you. I don't give a fuck. I got a laptop.
Yep. I
was like, yeah, guess what? Dad's coming out today with no shirt. So your classmates just gonna see your dad's bare chested ass, you know. Maybe I won't even wear pants, you know. Like I told my wife, like what I want for Valentine's Day is a fuck around and find out flag.
Please.
That's what I need. Like oh Nathan, you think I won't fuck around and find out? You know. So, and it feels like the same way. You know, again going back to like eBay with these purchases and shit, like. I really just wonder, like, what people are thinking. Do they think
people think that everybody just rolls over, or they're not smart enough to figure out how to do a return?
And well, you not know just what? That. Like, I don't. The thing I went through is I was like, I'll burn my eBay account. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do a chargeback.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Fuck them. I don't give a fuck because I know I could just make a new account. What's eBay gonna do?
Exactly.
But yeah,
well,
so that's,
although as a seller, you have to give them your social so they can report your taxes stuff. So
they can eat my ass on that too. So
to an extent, you can fuck around.
No, not to an extent. They can have both cheeks. So nobody's getting my fucking social security number so I can sell shit. Fuck them and fuck that.
Yeah.
So anyway. So yeah, Pat, that's what I've been doing, the DSi XL debauchery. And just God, why can't people just be honest, man?
Yeah.
Like I would love it if somebody's like, yo, man, it's fucked up, but it works all right. Cool. But you can't charge top dollar and then deliver a product that is not worth top dollar. No, you can go to the dick buffet and have fun and go back for seconds.
Eat them all.
Exactly. Treat yourself. Put your dick in the little chocolate fountain and everything.
Oh my God.
How about you, Kayla? What have you been up to?
Man, that's a hard one to follow, by the way.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was going through and playing Sonic Colors and Sonic 06, mostly just for my YouTube channel, and I was getting ready to do been wanting to do for my channel go through the Sega Genesis hockey games too.
NHL 94.
But I have fortunately I had a huge disaster happen, and then I had I was taking in a math class in school I had to drop because I was just getting so burnt out and just exhausted. So I kind of had to stop playing what I was playing for a while and just scale back a little better. But today I got an Xbox Series X, and I think my big plan for this weekend is to install RetroArch on it.
Nice.
And basically make it my main emulation rig.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm really happy with I've been going through Game Pass and downloading the games that are on that are optimized for the Series X, and I've been really happy because of most of these games I haven't even played. But I still mostly got it because I after watching people play GameCube and PSP games, I just figured that was probably going to be my best the best thing I could do to make an emulation rig for myself.
Yeah. It's definitely a good one. I mean, you can get your hands on all the next gen games you want, but sometimes you're just going to be sitting there thinking, you know what this system needs to get? F-Zero GX. And yeah, that's completely legit.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm just really happy I was able to find one. My partner just woke me up in the morning. I was just like, they're on Best Buy right now. Go get them. So I'm really happy. And I think that's going to be I wanted to get the Series S to use mostly as a streaming rig, mostly for streaming classic Xbox games. But I think this is going to be my last next-gen purchase for a while. Mostly because I just want to save money and get the I just want to save money so when the Analog Duo comes out, I can afford that. Yeah. And then get the other next gen consoles when they come out, when I have the money for them.
Yeah, I'm just picturing you running straight for the computer with like that little cartoon cloud behind you when you heard that they had Xboxes.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was crazy. I had to, Best Buy actually made it pretty easy to get them because they would release a few and then stop and then release a few more and then stop. So I'm just waiting here on my computer, figuring out when it's going to be, when they're going to release new inventory. And when they did, I put it in my cart and then I need an access code and I kept hitting it and I kept saying, just wait, the access code's going to meet her. I ended up getting like 15 access codes sent to me an hour or two later. but yeah, overall, it was a really easy experience. It was really easy going to Best Buy today and doing the curbside pickup.
Yeah.
It was really easy setting up the console too on my phone. And yeah, I'm really excited to get RetroArch on there. Just like I said, I was watching videos all week of people setting it up and watching GameCube and PSP games mostly, and just really blown away by how good they look and how well they play.
Nice.
Like, that is the selling point for the Xbox Series for me right now, honestly. So is that pretty much what you've been playing, or is there been some other retro stuff?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And once I get through, I had to do like 4 weeks of 4 weeks of schoolwork in 2 days in order to get myself in a position where I could actually have time to do stuff.
Oh my god!
And that's rough. Well, it was just like I just had so many disasters and so many problems with my class. I was like, I got to get this shit done, otherwise I'm going to not pass the class. So now that I actually have time, I'm going to get back to making videos and get back to playing Sonic Colors and Sonic 06. And that's basically where I'm at right now.
All right. How about you, Teresa?
Well, I haven't been playing anything retro. I've been playing current stuff. Okay, you know what? I've only been playing PSO2 and Civ 6 because that's where my little ass is at the moment.
Yeah, well, PSO2 is a staple. I mean, that's just...
Right? It is.
It's but lifeblood.
We did go in search of a Game Boy Advance. My son wanted one. He was looking on eBay and I'm like, screw those prices, kid. We live in Chicagoland. Let's go find something local. And sure enough, I found I found some stuff on OfferUp. I didn't really find much on Facebook Marketplace, believe it or not. Nothing that I consider to be an okay price. And nothing that he certainly had enough money for. But I went to Ye Old Craigslist. Remember that? Remember that? And somebody out here in the burbs had one because we were not going to go into the goddamn city just to buy a Game Boy Advance. and keep in mind, man, we have plenty of almost every variety of Game Boy. But he wanted one that he can put a different screen in and put different shells on and change out the buttons and the membranes. So, you know, he's wanting to mod it for himself, for his own purposes.
He's really going down that rabbit hole.
With something like that, it's remarkable how much you can do with the GBA, like just the amount of shells and buttons and all that. And again, the number one thing that you see everybody do is change out that screen.
Yep.
I have two of them, like we were talking about before the show. I have one that's completely stock, but has an AGS 101 screen in it. Also, Teresa, since we're talking about this, has he bought the shell yet that he's going to replace it with?
I believe he and Scott did buy that. And you know, it kills me because it's the ice blue shell. He's like, after a while, he's like, Mom, the shell is so cool. I'm going to keep it around. And if I find something at a garage sale, I'm going to take that out and stick it in this shell. I'm like, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, the thing is, and if you haven't run into it yet, you will. You have to cut, if it's an original shell, you have to cut it to make sure that the ribbon cable can fit for an AGS 101 screen. A lot of places will sell you the shell pre-cut. So you may want to look out for that, because otherwise you're going to have to break out a Dremel and you could fuck the shell up. Trust me, I know from experience.
Okay.
So, you know, if they've ordered and it's already there, double check it, because the shells are cheap. They're like $20. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you'll want to do is just check that, you know, it was pre-cut to put in an AGS 101. Is he doing the 101 or is he doing that like 10-step LCD screen that people are selling?
I believe he's doing the 10-step LCD screen.
That may fit. You'll still want to check. I'm almost 100% positive, though. No, it will not. The edge has to be on the back of the case by the battery cover, has to be edged out like 2 millimeters. And then you have to adjust the window just a little bit, like a millimeter off of one side to make sure that the screen is centered because it's bigger. But like I said, most people that sell the shells will just pre-cut that stuff for you. So you'll just want to check.
Okay.
Because I've got two. I'm still going with AGS 101 screens. I never did the LCDs. The LCDs look good. But they're not pixel perfect to me. Like they have a better color depth, and saturation, but like the pixels aren't as sharp. It's not as sharp as the AGS 101 screen. For most people though, they don't know. They'll never notice. I'm that guy that would. But yeah, I've got an OG one that's Glacier. I kept the original shell and, you know, cut out the edge so I could put in the AGS 101 screen. So it's all original except for that. And then I have another one that I did with a crimson. Like it's a translucent crimson red with black buttons.
That sounds, of course, really sharp.
I'll send you some picture of it. It looks dope.
Okay.
And I've also got two AGS 101 GBA SPs. One that was an old one that I modified with the new AGS screen. And that's like that crimson, or the, more like that orange that Nintendo did. Mm-hmm. And then I still have my original OG GBA SP 101 that had the LCD screen. I'd still use it. And you know what's so funny is you can always see when people are trying to sell one of those like on eBay or something like that, and they'll be like, you know, original with the AGS, you know, 101 screen. The shell of that one that had the 101 screen that's not side lit but is an actual LCD screen that's backlit. The shell of that one is actually graphite colored. And the D-pad, and I'm saying this and now I probably got it mixed up, but the D-pad itself is a lighter color. And so that was one of the things that always stuck out to me when I'd be looking online for people that were selling these things. And they'd be like, yeah, this is the, you know, the SP-101. And it really wasn't. It was, they took an original one and just stuck the screen in it because it would be all black and the D-pad would be black. That was always the way that you could tell, like, no, this is somebody reshelled this thing. It's not the original. So I'm sorry. So yeah, excuse me. So yeah, the I'm looking at a picture of it now. Yeah, the system itself is graphite. It's like gray, and then the D-pad and the buttons are black. Whereas if you see somebody else, it'll be reversed. The original AGS-001, I think is what it was called, SP, the one that was side lit, has
that's what I have.
It's all black, and I want to say the buttons are, I think they're also black. I'm not sure. But anyway, that was one of the things that stuck out to me. So not that it's relevant for what you're talking about. Excuse me. I have it reversed. The case is gray, the buttons are black. So my kid just brought it to me. So that goes back to what I was saying a minute ago. Like, Nintendo systems for the most part last for fucking ever. Like, this is still the original.
They do.
You know, SP that I have. Because I remember I picked it up because I loved my original SP, except for the hand cramps, you know, that you eventually got. But I remember one time when I was deathly sick back in like 2002, sitting in my bedroom for 2 days, you know, just playing Tactics Advance, you know, like on that thing and being like, this is so cool because I can see in the dark.
Was that the back injury?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh God, I remember that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So just sitting in my room while injured, laid up, laying on my stomach the whole time, and then playing that. So, yeah. And then they brought out the SP, and I remember people were like, "What's the big deal with this?" Like, have you seen the fucking screen on the new one? It's like an LCD. This shit is the shit. You guys are whack. I'm buying this, and I've had it ever since, and it still works. Battery has not ballooned yet, and I've probably put 500 hours on that thing.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, one of our Pokemon cartridges needs a little bit of battery surgery. We did find that out. I was podcasting with the Let's Weekend crew. And so these guys went and went down to Downers Grove, met this guy, and they had a good experience. They sat on the front porch a little bit chit-chatting. And the guy's like, "Hey, I'm going to throw in the Dark Dragon cartridge for it." So we got that. It was in the Game Boy itself was in pretty good shape. One of the buttons could use a new membrane. They're already on order. And he had the box for it too, and he was, you know, an older adult collector and gamer. And he gives us Shining Force Resurrection of the Dark Dragon with it. So we buy all of this for $35.
Jesus.
And I mean, the game itself goes for more than that on eBay.
Yeah.
so it was a pretty good experience, but you know, he was on Craigslist, and a lot of people aren't going back to Craigslist anymore. But it's the only place that I can go and not get freaking ads everywhere. Facebook Marketplace really pisses me off a lot. So yeah. He didn't have a picture of it, and he did say that it was the widescreen, and that was, you know, that was what my kid was after. So I sent him an email, and I asked for the deets, and he sent me a picture, and I'm like, "Hey, here's my text, you know, here's my phone number, we'll text." And it turned out to be, you know, it turned out to be pretty good. And then of course I did put a little money into this for him because, you know, I'm not a monster. And I'm a total enabler. But he's going to end up spending like, you know, almost $100 overall, I'm sure, with parts plus the 35, just tricking this thing out. It's
fun experience, though. Like the Game Boy, really Nintendo, like it's really, for me, I feel like it stops with the Game Boy scene. Like, you don't see a lot of like tricked out, you know, DS's, for example, but the Game Boy Advance, the Game Boy Advance and the Game Boy Advance SP are always the ones that you see people doing mods on. And it all comes from the fact that, you know, Nintendo, you know, put out that screen, you know, with the SP. Cause I mean, I'm sure you guys remember when the Game Boy Advance was awesome when it, you know, launched, but you needed to be like sitting on the sun to be able to really see the screen.
Yeah.
And you know,
and you
so
still
that,
had to be holding it at the right angle.
At the right angle, exactly. So, and you know, the Game Boy Advance is sort of a, you know, feels like Nintendo sort of cut its life short because there were some fantastic games on it. And then they brought out the DS, and they were like, you know, this is going to be the third pillar. And then when the DS took off, they're like, yeah, fuck that. We only need two pillars, you know. And that was why you had that. You know, they went from the GBA, they went to the SP. that, you know, was side lit, and it was like all of a sudden, oh my God, I can actually, you know, see this thing
right
in the dark. I can do all this other stuff. That felt like a really big, you know, jump. And Nintendo was very much Apple before they were Apple, because with the SP, you had to have a dongle to use headphones. What a bunch of assholes.
I forgot about
that. Yeah, you have to have a dongle to use headphones. Yep. So that was thrilling. But then, you know, then right as the DS was, the original DS came out, they brought out the AGS 101 model, which was the LCD screen, not side lit, fully backlit, razor sharp. But that one wasn't on the market for very long. I want to say they only had two colors out. I want to say it was, and I'm wrong. So, you know, please forgive me for anybody that's listening and they're like, this motherfucker right here. I know there was the graphite one, which is the one I talked to you guys about, which was like a dark gray shell, with the black buttons. And I want to say the other one was pink. And then I want to say they also at some point brought out like an ice blue one, that was the SP. But those weren't even around for that long. And I don't think there were that many that were made. But again, I could be completely wrong. I remember them only sticking around for like a year, because the DS came out. And then what was it, like a year later, the DS Lite came out. And, you know, the DS could play Game Boy cartridges. So it was like the best of both worlds. I could play the Game Boy on this little bit of a wider system than the SP. You know, it's got, the triggers are better, and, you know, it looks great. Because then for a while, I didn't use my my SP, because I had my DS Lite. And even though the cartridge stuck out from the bottom, it still looked really fucking good. And the DS itself was, somebody just booted it up.
Yeah, that was me.
But yeah, the DS...
That one was my fave, because
I can't believe it still had charge.
Dude, that's the other thing. That's what I'm saying. Nintendo doesn't make them like they used to. Like, I don't know if I think I probably went on the rant with you guys in one of our channel conversations where I was like, this is bullshit. Like, Nintendo's every single version of the 3DS, and really, I feel like every single version of every system since the Game Boy Advance has come out and has had some sort of problem. Like, the original Game Boy Advance was great in terms of its form factor and everything. You could argue that it should have had four face buttons, but whatever. You know, it had a headphone jack, you know, but you couldn't see the fucking thing unless you were standing on the sun at the right angle. Then they bring out the SP, and it's like, okay, form factor is really cool, but it kind of cramps your hands because of how small it is. But then again, maybe it's a plus because of how small it is, but then you have to have a dongle to use your headphones. And then they bring out the original DS, you know, which was just not very good. And you know, it was like, oh, okay, well, I can see what they're doing, but it's not very well fleshed out. Then they bring out the DS Lite, and you're like, oh, this thing is awesome. But now the Game Boy games that you can put in it stick out, whereas they didn't in the original DS. And then, so you're like, okay, fine. Then they bring out the 3DS. The 3D, you know, implementation itself sucks, but the unit is relatively light and is decent to hold. Then they bring out the new 3DS, which is considerably heavier than the original 3DS. Looks better, you know, of course they do the XL size, you know, because the original 3DS, just the non-XL one, would scratch the fucking top screens if you didn't have screen protectors when it was closed. And looked like just that, you know what the old 3DS looked like, the original OG model? Do you guys remember that triple layer Jell-O they used to sell?
Holy shit.
look at an original 3DS from the side and tell me it doesn't look like that triple layer Jell-O. Yeah.
Wow.
Right? Now you're not wrong. No. So they have the original 3DS, and then they bring out the 3DS XL, which, you know, again, it's just better overall. But, you know, like even just like the placement of where the SD card is weird, and the 3D implementation sucks. So then they bring out the new 3DS, has the same problem where the SD card's in a weird position, but the 3D is excellent, but also has these really slippery game pads. And again, holding it, because it's so heavy, is just not that comfortable in your hands.
Yeah, you'd have a grip, really.
Yeah. And so then they bring out the 2DS, which has, you know, basically shit speakers, but the ergonomics of it are much better. Yeah. You know, you look at like what they did with the Switch. The Switch has the drift problems with the Joy-Con. The original docks were scratching the systems. So, you know, they bring out the, you know, and the Joy-Cons themselves don't have a D-pad. Then they bring out the Switch Lite, you know, which has a fucking D-pad, but can't actually do anything else that the Switch does, like by docking. Like every single system Nintendo seems to bring out feels compromised. And I feel like that's just, I don't know, their MO, because I feel like the last system that they brought out that just wasn't compromised was like the Nintendo 64. Like, it's so weird. Like, oh, so speaking of that 2DS that I was telling you guys about, I ended up finding one from the Reset Era forums where a guy sold me one of the Hylian Shield ones, which I really would have preferred just the black and turquoise one. Cause I like the Hylian Shield looks kind of cool, but it's a little garish to me, but whatever. But he gave me a really good fucking price on it. It was brand new. I opened that bitch up. There's dust underneath the LCD.
What?
It's like, are you fucking serious? Now, thankfully I called Nintendo and I got to give them credit. They were like, well, if you just bought it, we'll warranty it for a year. No problem. And so they gave me a free shipping label, and it's in New York right now being fixed.
Did it come from like the desert?
No. Like, apparently I found out, like, looking into this, this is actually apparently a problem with 3DS and 2DS production overall, is that there's something that was happening where they would seal the units and sometimes there would be dust underneath the screen lens. That's the other thing. Speaking of one of the ways that the 3DS was shitty is you also had the screen lottery. Sometimes the screens would be super, super cool and be almost bluish. Sometimes they would be piss yellow. And that came because for some reason they used TN panels in some of the 3DSs and used IPSs in others. So like getting like the holy grail of a 3DS is two IPS panels, you know, for top and bottom. And it's just like just the inconsistency in manufacturing is just crazy. And I do feel like there's a distinct difference between like Nintendo of the Game Boy Advance era, for example, in terms of manufacturing, and the one that we have now, because just the amount of problems that you hear people have with their systems, it never really used to be like that. Like, we're talking about, like, now, and I'm not putting on rose colored glasses, because we all remember how bad the original Nintendo fucked up. Like, you had to respect how people dealt with their fucking original Nintendo not booting up. Some people would blow into the cartridges. I knew people that coughed into the cartridges. Like, they wouldn't blow, they would cough. Other people that would put their cartridges in the freezer for 5 minutes and then put it into their system and it'll work. And so everybody had their own way of making their own Nintendo work. But I feel like after that, like the SNES, besides the yellowing of the systems, I don't think really had any problems. And the Nintendo 64 didn't really have any problems, except that it was the Nintendo 64. Yeah. The Game Boy Advance fucking, you know, or excuse me, the original Game Boy. I mean, they have one in the Smithsonian that survived a bombing in Iraq.
Yep. And I just had my GBA SP out. I hadn't started doing that for over. I haven't touched it in over a decade, and it had charge.
Battery's still good. Oh, wait, so. Those don't have batteries.
No, the SP does.
Yeah.
SP is rechargeable. Yeah.
It didn't have much charge. It didn't get through the entire boot sequence, but it had charge.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Crazy. Yeah, like, in my battery in my OG SP is still the original.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. We haven't... We swapped one out. I think it was on my DS Lite. That was the only one that swelled. But otherwise, everything else has been good. I think that was it.
My PSP one swelled like a motherfucker. Like, bad. But yeah, I've never had a Nintendo battery swell on me. You know, watch, you know, famous last words, right?
It's the 2DS, yeah. I think it was the 2DS. The 2DS is the one that went.
The newest of them all.
I know. And it was super easy to change, of course, but yeah. One of these days I'm going to have to take a picture of our Game Boy drawer. It's pretty bananas.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really funny. I've got, like, so remember when I was bitching about the 3DS to you guys on chat one day? I've got the NES Link Between Worlds edition, or the 3DS Link Between Worlds editions right before the new 3DS came out.
Uh-huh.
And then I got the NES 3DS edition. And I don't know why I have those. I've never played them. They're still basically brand new, but they're not the new model. I think what happened is I bought them, and my intention was to give one to my kid and me for me to play with one. And then we must have just gotten sidetracked or something, and I never used it. And then, of course, then the new 3DS came out, which was, you know, that's the one that I wanted because it had the stable 3D, which, you know, to be fair, but the 3D and I actually did use it. Actually, now that I'm saying that, I had the 3D slider up halfway all the way through A Link Between Worlds.
Really?
That was the first game that I played where I kept the 3D on because it didn't give me a headache. And I was really impressed with it because it was very subtle. It reminded me of like those pop-up books you read when you're kids, you know, in terms of its aesthetic, but nothing was overly garish. It didn't do that weird thing where something flies at the screen to try and make you jump or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, Nintendo overall for their games, the 3D has always been implemented well, but I just haven't like with the Mario games, like Mario 3D World was implemented really well, but I just couldn't keep it on. It always gave me a headache. Link Between Worlds did not. But like, so I would love to actually go back. I don't like the C-stick matters for me in Dragon Quest 8 because I use it to move the camera. Because moving the camera with the D-pad is bullshit. But like the NES edition looks fucking fantastic, but it's the old version. So I have them sitting here in box. I should figure out how much I can get for these things. And like the Link Between World ones.
For your 3DS.
Yeah. The Link Between World ones looks awesome. DSi XL. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know.
Finance it.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit, because we just had to recently buy a new bed.
Oy.
Yeah. So all this money. But
yeah,
that's the Game Boy. Back on topic, Teresa started to just derail everything. But yeah, the Game Boy modding scene is just nuts, and there's so much cool shit out there.
And
yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. Like I've seen people that are like modified SPs, like where they make the triggers different colors, you know, them different color buttons. And it's, you know what it reminds me of? And it makes sense because of the time. Do you guys remember back in the 2000s when people would have like their razors and their razor phones and they would change out the colors and shit like that? That's what it reminds me of. But the old mobile phone stuff before, you know, the iPhone came along where people would have, you know, they'd change out the actual casings of their phones.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it reminds me of, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I did that. I got a multicolored razor that blew my friend's mind because I got the silver one. Then they brought out the black one. And then somebody came out with, like, a red shell for it. And I was like, I will do a fucking black outside or a red outside with the black inside. And, I showed up to work one day with that shit. And they were like, that's amazing, you know. So, and yeah, there's just, I think the only system that I've seen that seems to have a similar modding community to it is the Switch. Like I've got modified Joy-Cons where I replaced the buttons for a D-pad.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could totally see that being a thing. The Switch is, I think, is the closest. You see people that have case mods, Joy-Con mods, all of that stuff.
They are all over Instagram.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Circling back to the 3D on the 3DS, my best memory of that was right after launch, like maybe a day or two after launch. I was still working at Walmart. I was sitting in the break room playing Pilot Wings Resort. And one of the co-managers at the time was curious about the 3DS and asked me about it. So since I was playing Pilot Wings Resort, I just decided I would jack up the 3D all the way and just say, yeah, check this out. And she almost got sick.
No way.
Because I had just barely started to run and I was way up there, jacked up the 3D the whole way. And then just no warning, no chance to give your eyes adjustment. Just here you go.
Oh my God.
So that was funny. She was a good sport about it, but
yeah.
After the puke.
No, she kept her food on the inside. It looked like it was going to be a close call there for a while, but all's well that ended well. But
such an interesting thing for them to do because it felt like such a I don't want to say forward thinking because that's not it, but such an evolution from like what they were trying to do with like the Virtual Boy, you know, like it felt like the next step. Like Nintendo's always been interested in 3D. But it just, I found that, you know, in my experience, it just was never implemented well, you know, it just, that was always my issue with it. It just wasn't implemented well. Except again with the, what, you know, Nintendo doing it, because otherwise it was just way too overblown, was my experience, you know. And I think I have to wonder if the 3D would have been better if the screens were sharper.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, like if there was a higher resolution, like, because one of the things that does happen is like if you turn the 3D on, it smooths out the image a little bit. But even with that, like, you know, you still see the jaggies and all that. And you know, so looking at a picture that's not, frankly, very sharp, and then stacking 3D on top of that, I think is part of the reason why it didn't work that well. And I do, it's one of those things that I do wonder about, like if they had done a, you know, had a sharper, higher resolution screen and did 3D with that, if it would have made a difference. And I think it probably would have, because most everyone that I know liked the 3DS or loved the 3DS, but never used the 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know,
that is exactly it. Yeah. So is that about what you've been up to, Teresa?
Yeah, that has been the long and short of it.
All right. So for my part, to start off, I landed a Super NES Classic off of Facebook Marketplace for $50.
Which is obscene.
Yeah, I got paid on Friday. And when I was up early, like,
daddy's taking care of himself today.
Yeah, well, I was just sitting there at like 4 a.m. because I couldn't sleep. And it was payday, so something just told me, like, I had this feeling in my head, I had to go check Facebook Marketplace. And I went there and I saw this. Yeah, $50 are best offer. Don't really know what they go for. Yeah, really. Yoink.
So do you ever feel bad about something like that? Like, I'm really taking you for a ride.
If I didn't, someone else was going to.
Okay, that's fair.
Good point, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he listed it for $50. He's going to be relieved of it before he finds out what it's actually worth.
You're absolutely right. Somebody is going to buy that. That is 100%. Yeah.
So I already have my Super NES Mini, but I don't know what I'm going to do with this one. Apparently it's already hacked, so it might be that might make it a project in and of itself.
It could be, yeah.
When I get a hold of it, but I'm looking forward to seeing what shape it's in, and you know, at the very least, it's just something I can hold on to until I find a purpose for it. And I wasn't turning it down for $50. So I definitely had to jump on that. Probably order another carrying case here pretty soon for the second one. In addition, I hacked an NES Classic for a coworker's nephew. This was just last night. I haven't heard anything more about it since, but by all indications, it seems like it was a hit, so very well received. And I'm just looking forward to hearing more, you know, as they get a chance to explore everything that's on it. And finally, I am planning to finally take a step back into streaming. I have a kind of concept for what my channel is going to be like moving forward. There's obviously going to be PSO2. I'm going to be streaming the shit out of that game. But in addition to that, there's going to be a particular retro band, and I'm kind of piggybacking it onto the podcast. There's going to be a lot of retro, a lot of hardware mod stuff, a lot of discussion about mods or imports, ROM hacks, things like that. And just using it as a vehicle, not just to promote the show, but also to promote activity in this field of, in this corner of gaming. Because I really don't feel that it's taking the prominent spot that it deserves. And that's actually the entire spirit behind this show as well. But I'm looking forward to doing lengthy streams of, you know, obscure import RPGs or you know, whatever Turbo Duo action game I happen to be glued to at any given time, and just having something that so prominently features really personalized gaming, because, and that's something I come back to a lot as well, is I like the idea of this show and my streams being a place where people can discover their next favorite games that they might have never even heard of before, and, you know, exploring what else is out there when we have access to these import games that came out when we were bogged down by region locking or just didn't have retail access to when they came out. And so it's like having the entire archive of the ongoing masterpiece that is gaming unlocked, and now you have carte blanche and can play pretty much whatever you want.
Yeah.
We need streams about that. And that's something that I look forward to providing.
No, I think that's an interesting way to think about it too. Cause I find myself a lot. One of the allures for me for the portable systems, like I've always liked portable systems ever since I got my first Game Boy, but especially now with like the Vita and with the 3DS, you know, I have both of them hacked, is pretty much anything from my childhood.
Yeah.
I can play, you know, which.
And
which,
it holds up.
Yeah. Like, you know, and you know, with the exception, there are certain things on the Vita that don't emulate that well, like some arcade games. Like I really had this hankering to play Elevator Action 2. I think it's called like Elevator Action 2, The Return. Could not get that fucking thing to run right.
That's Elevator Action Returns.
Returns, yeah. I could not get that thing to run right to save my life. And, you know, with Chrono Trigger, I had a little bit of an issue with the emulation because the music wouldn't play properly on the Vita. So, you know, thankfully I had my DS copy, which led to the whole DS debacle that we were just talking about. Yeah. But, you know, but the fact that I could, like, so for example, Phantasy Star, like I'm going to be playing that on my Vita. And, you know, just having that, again, like that sharp screen and, you know, cause I've got the OLED model and I also have the LCD model, but I keep my OLED one upstairs, and that's what I do all like my emulation stuff on. And just being able to go back and to either play things that meant a great deal to me, back in the day, or, you know, to get around to finishing something that I never got the opportunity to is very cool. You know, and especially with that, you know, even though the Vita came out, what, like 2013 or something, you know, it pretty much will eat any 16-bit system and, you know, plays the GBA stuff well. Yeah. And then with the 3DS, you know, the 3DS pretty much will perfectly emulate any GBA games as well if you want to play them that way. But I prefer, like, again, the Vita, you know, sharper image quality. And then, you know, the 3DS as well can play, you know, Super Nintendo games, you know, again, if you want to have that feeling. So just being able to go back and experience that stuff is really a big deal for me, especially since I'm finding nowadays, like a lot of stuff that's coming out, I just feel like doesn't respect my time.
Yeah.
And you know, he says he's about to play Phantasy Star 2. but like, you know, that general feeling where it's just like, oh, well this game would have been 30 hours, but they padded it out to 60. Because that's just what they wanted to do. You know, that kind of shit irritates me. And I have less and less tolerance for it. And I think probably, at least for me, it comes from sort of a morbid place. And that is, you know, I lost my mom and my dog basically 2 months from each other in 2018. And then having to go through, and I'm not new to death. I've lost people that I've cared about my entire life. But there was something about that particular time and the circumstances around it, which I'm not going to go into here because it's a personal thing, but just really have had me really recognize, like, fuck man, I could check out tomorrow. And, you know, I'm not a person that has a lot of regrets in general. That's not my MO. But I do think about, you know, if I'm about to like check out, like what are the things that I would have wanted to do in my life? And, you know, obviously, you know, the number one thing is being like a good, you know, good husband and a good father, which I feel like I am. And then the second for me is, you know, doing things that I felt were fulfilling. And, you know, gaming has always been something that has been fulfilling for me. And I know there are other people that are like, oh, I wanted to go out. I wanted to travel. I wanted to do all that. Like, I've been able to do that. And I've, you know, but for me, a lot of it just comes to there are stories out there in gaming or experiences and just experiences in general that I want to have before I finally kick off. And like, I'm turning 40 this year. So it's not like I'm going to die tomorrow. You know what I mean? But I can't lie and say like, I don't feel like I have less days in front of me than I do behind me. And it's a weird feeling to experience. And I've also found, especially nowadays, like I think about it the same way that I think about music. Like I'm not really listening to much new music these days because people just aren't putting out anything that I like. And then some of the bands that I do like, you know, they haven't really evolved or they're just making the same album over and over again. So I'm not interested in that shit. You know what I mean? So it's sort of this weird, weird experience to be in where you're like, there are all of these things that I want to do, all of these things that I want to experience. And like, you know, my main hobbies are reading, watching movies, and playing video games. And even now, like, there's not that many movies that come out that I'm interested in. Frankly, there's not that many books coming out that I'm interested in. For almost the same reason. Like, I look at something like Game of Thrones, right? Like, that guy can't even finish his fucking series. And how much of it is just padding because he didn't realize where he wanted to take the story? Like, I'm not going to waste my time indulging in something like that, because how much of the time do I actually have left? And so now I found like a lot of the focus that I'm having now is go back and do the things that, and play the things and read the things and watch the things that I wasn't able to, you know, when my son was much younger, because he took up, you know, so much of our time. And I think there's something particular about the generation that all of us are in. Like, I don't know anybody that has a career that they're happy with. Like, everyone that I know, like, might like their job. You know, I know I have friends that do not. But most people that I know, you know, either hate their jobs or like their jobs or just treat their jobs as a means to an end so that they can do things in their life that they want to do. And I think that is more inherent to our generation and our age group. And then like what it'll be like for like my kid, than any other generation before it, because just the opportunities that were afforded to the, you know, the generations before us simply don't exist because, you know, they had those generations had a ladder that they were able to climb. And then when they got to the top of it, they pulled it up. So we can't, you know,
right.
And I think you especially see it now where it's like, you're going to work the rest of your life and you're probably still going to die damn near broke. So do the shit that you want to do.
Yes.
Yeah. And we also saw the people who were not in a corporate type job, but who were laborers who expended their life energy for a paycheck. You know, our grandparents, our uncles and our aunts even
broke down and their bodies.
They did. And that is not what we want for ourselves. And frankly, I don't think that's what they want for us either. I mean, you know, it had an impact. We saw. We paid attention.
Well, like to go back to that point, that's something I thought about with my mom. My mom was working the day that she ended up in a coma. You know, she was working. She was about to be 65. You know, we had talked to her about, you know, because she had cancer. And we were like, Mom, maybe you should just take the Social Security, you know, even though it'll be less, and just enjoy the time. But we had no idea what was going to happen. We thought, you know, she at least had another year. And so did she. And so she was trying to, you know, button things up so that I wouldn't have to clean up her stuff when she was gone, which I had to do and get rid of it. Like a year and a half after she died, I mean, my basement was basically her apartment and had all of her stuff in it because I just didn't know what to do with it, you know? And then you start that process where you're going through it and it's fucking horrible. So I'd get, you know, 25, 35 minutes into it and go, fuck this. I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know? So it took forever just to get the basement, you know, where I wanted it to be. And then you have all of that stuff happen. Right. And then we roll straight into COVID where, you know, at least for the first couple of months, it, like, nobody knew what the fuck was going on. People were dropping like flies. You know, we had, and not remotely trying to make, you know, this podcast political, but we could, if we were being generous, we could say the people in charge at the time were inept. you know, so all of this uncertainty, like, really just kind of like threw things, at least for me, much more sharper into focus to go, I need to just really start doing the shit that I want to do. And so, like, this is one of them. Like, I'm not trying to be that guy, but like, I love doing the Day Zero update with you guys. But as soon as Phil left, and then us just kind of talking about the same shit over and over again, like, it stopped being something that I got anything out of. And then of course we rolled into this, which I greatly enjoy, because it's not just about, you know, talking about the news of the day. It's talking about whatever we want in the lens that we're ascribing things, you know? So, and so that's, this is where I get the joy, not from saying, oh, look, you know, Activision fucked somebody over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel you. I feel you. It's all about, like, just even just reconnect. You know, what's so funny about too with the retro stuff, right? Is like, I sometimes wonder if with the retro stuff that we're playing or being into, it's not even so much that the stuff was good, because obviously, arguably, some of it is not. But it's but it's also like trying to recapture that feeling that you had at that age.
Exactly.
You know. Because I think, like, I think about that a lot when we look at anything that we really, like, consume as far as pop culture. Like, I, to this day, the only thing that has made me feel like I felt when I was a teenager, you know, when, like, good music and shit was coming out, and it seemed like there were always awesome movies in the movie theater and everything else like that, and good comics and all that, was what Marvel did with the MCU. And I know there's a lot of haters out there that are like, oh, that's just fucking, you know, studio compiled trash and all of that, but I had not felt that way, like that wonder about things, since I had seen the original Star Wars. And I mean, for lack of a better term, at this point, that shit's over too. Like, they're gonna roll into Phase 4, but they don't have Robert Downey Jr. Captain America's gone, fucking Chadwick Boseman died, you know. So it, you know, obviously whatever comes next is going to be different. And I think, you know, obviously that's probably just how life works in general, right?
But I think that everything that comes next post COVID period is going to be different.
Right. Yeah. And that's the other thing. COVID just changes everything, man. Like, there is a period here. I was reading a book called Station 11, which all of my friends had just recommended, like, you need to read this. This book is awesome. And it was about, like, basically a plague hitting, and just kind of how the world moves on afterwards and still tries to keep art alive. And it's about this, like, traveling troupe essentially after the apocalypse that does plays and deals with the people that they come across and just the way the world is. And there's all of these little bits in the book, like, where it talks about how, you know, when the plague, and it's very similar to COVID, ironically, the plague that hits. But then, you know, one of the things that happens, like, there's a passage in the book where, they talk about not named characters, but just people would gather at the airports, right? Because there was easy access to food because of everything that was coming in. It was obviously large land masses. And so they talk about Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, which is the airport here in Atlanta. And one of the things that they bring up is that we knew the world was ending when nothing came on TV anymore. And basically, then they talk about how essentially, like, CNN signed off, you know, and then everything else did. And so it was funny. I'm reading that. And then at the time, you know, COVID was going on. And then, like, you know, folks like Chris Cuomo and those people got COVID. And I was like, holy shit, I can't read this book anymore. And so that's one of those things I have to go back to, you know, because now at least, you know, I feel like we're almost on the other side of it. But it still comes down to, at least for me as well, COVID is kind of like a wake-up call, I think, in general, right? Like, everybody's lives have transformed. And whether you were lucky like me to be able to keep working, or, you know, I have friends that were not able to. I have friends that are still essentially working on the front lines at stores because people want to be assholes. You know, they just can't stay their asses at home.
They fucking cannot.
Yeah. And so after this, I feel like it's just even more doubling down. Like, it feels like, you know, well, hopefully maybe by summer we'll finally be done with this, and, you know, enough people will have been able to be vaccinated, and we can all kind of semi get back to normal. But even with that, like, I still feel like everything changes, to your point, you know, Teresa, and I want to, I don't know, just embrace it and really just dive into the shit that I enjoy and really just cut out you know, the stuff that I don't.
Yes.
The noise, just the random noise.
And I think that's why I've had such an aversion to like some of this like AAA shit that just come out where it's like, this game should really be 20 hours long, but you made it 60 because you had nothing better to do. And yeah. I no longer want to give those additional 40 hours to anybody. You know, that's 40 hours yeah. I could be giving to something else, you know?
Yeah.
And no, I hear it's you. Reached the point where the biggest selling point is FOMO.
Yeah. And you guys know me, I'm not playing anything on day one. Mm-hmm. So FOMO is not an issue for me. I don't give a fuck. So, I mean, fuck you. Look at, I just finished Link Between Worlds. I fucking realized that shit came out in like 2013. Like, even when I was looking at it, I was like, this came out in 2013? Fuck! You know? So, yeah, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's funny, though, thinking about the DS. I do think the reason I had such a strong reaction to it was because, A, my mom gave me that DS, but
yeah.
But B, I was sitting there thinking, like, there are all these games on this that I can't play anywhere else. Like, I could do what you're doing, Pat, and emulate them on the computer, but I'm just, that's the other thing, man. Since my mom passed away, you know, I have two rooms in my basement. I have the room that I'm in right now, which is my office, essentially, and it has my TV and all that stuff in it. It's basically a small bedroom. And then we have the outside area where my mom's stuff was. It has like a little mini kitchen area. There's like a fridge and stuff in there. Which is very helpful when I'm working during the day because I can just go to the fridge for something to drink instead of walking my ass upstairs. Because that's the other thing. I'm getting old. My knees hurt.
Yeah. You know?
So walking up a flight of stairs. Yeah, walking up a flight of stairs because I'm fucking thirsty is not the jam. But yeah, like I found that after, you know, my mom passed away and we had all of her stuff here. But then also losing my dog who we'd had since she was a baby and she was 9 years when she passed. She used to sit in my office with me. There's a couch right next to my desk and she would sit in the couch. And when I'd be pissed at customers, I would talk to her. Like, can you believe this fucking idiot did this? And I swear to her, and she'd look at me like, I can't believe it. What the fuck? You know, and like, and there'd be other times like when I would get, she could tell, like when I would be frustrated, she would come and sit on my feet. And yeah. I would just calm down, you know? And so like not having her down here, even though it'll be 3 years actually coming up. She died on February 16th. Teresa was a godsend for me when she was sick. I think we were up, what? We were messaging each other, Teresa, I think at like 2 a.m.
We were.
Yeah. We were. And I will never forget that because my wife was gone. She was stuck on a business trip. Here I was having my dog. She's barely able to breathe. I'm not sure what to do. You know, I'm worried that she's going to die. And I'm trying to keep her around to figure out what we can do. Like, I got these bogus results from the vet. So I just wasn't sure what was what. And then my wife was out of town and I was like, I need my wife to be here so she can at least say goodbye. And it was just a horrific experience. And Teresa, you helped me get through that, which I cannot thank you enough. I know it's been forever since it happened, but that means the world to me. But like, you know, losing my dog who I had raised since she was a tiny baby and who, especially for me, you know, she looked out for my kid when he was a kid. Like we used to be able to say, you know, when Nathan wanted to play outside and I was busy with work and Belen was busy with work, we didn't have to worry about anybody watching it. We could just say, Georgia, go with Nathan. And she knew exactly what that meant. Like, I swear to God, this dog was fucking half human. And she would run outside with Nathan and just watch him. And if anybody got too close, she'd run him away. Like one time our neighbor was jogging and we had got new neighbors next door and Georgia hadn't met them. And she's the friendliest dog ever. She loves people. Super social butterfly. But if she was outside with our kid, she knew that was defense mode. And she was a German pincher, which is like a medium-sized Doberman mixed with a Rottweiler. So just 100% protected.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Super, super pretty dog, but like had some mass on her. And our new neighbor was just jogging down the street one day and Georgia didn't know her. And she came too close to our fucking stretch of yard and Georgia ran her across the street up against the neighbor's mailbox. And I'm sitting there on my computer working and I just hear Georgia barking like crazy. And I hear somebody go, no, 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 no. And so I look out the window and then Georgia is like 2 feet from her, you know,
oh, no.
Across the street, you know, and has the neighbor run over me. Yeah. So then I run out the door and I'm like, Georgia, no, no, no. It's okay. That's our neighbor. And so Georgia just like, it's like watching somebody transform. She drops her shoulders, runs back to me smiling, you know, and I'm like, and I go, good girl. And the neighbor looks at me like I'm a fucking psychopath. Because I'm a good girl. you know. And so then I walk over and I, you know, I tell Georgia, and that was the other thing. We never had a leash on Georgia because she was just perfect. She never ran off. So we would say, I'm sitting there on my front stoop and I go, Georgia, stay. And I walk over to the neighbor and she's fucking freaked out. I said, listen, I'm so sorry. She's just never met you. And she's out here with my kid. And she's basically kind of like a mommy dog. And so I'm like, Georgia, come here. And the lady's like, what the fuck? I don't want to see. And I'm like, trust me. And so then I'm like, Georgia, you know, this is our friend. And then Georgia sniffs her and then just like kind of sits in front of her and then lays down, like rub my belly. And then after that, anytime Georgia sees the neighbor, it's no problem. You know, but like, so that's the kind of dog that she was. So not having her here in the basement, I'm just not down here very much. So that goes back to bring this back to gaming. I actually don't like being down here that much. So like, even though I've got this tricked out PC, I don't like being down here. Cause especially, you know, after losing my mom, after losing my dog. And then during this whole COVID thing, it's like, I would just prefer to be near my family. Like what I'm doing with you guys is really the only time I'm frankly, besides my work day where I don't spend that much time with them. Even if it's just, I'm sitting in a chair in a living room while they're watching TV or something, you know? So that has really shifted a lot of my gaming to portable stuff.
Yeah.
And again, with the emulation, it's just so much easier to just do it that way. Like, all right, cool. I have all these games that I wanted to play anyway, and I'll just do them this way.
Yeah. You know? I have noticed with COVID and just with the way everything is that I do more gaming on my iPad, believe it or not. Because it's convenient. It's, you know, if I just want to be there, but I don't want to hear everybody, I can put in my headphones like I'm doing right now where we're recording. I'm on my damn iPad. And it's there is a shift. It's going to be interesting to see what the long-term ramifications of this is for our gaming after we get past COVID and, you know, get back to whatever we decide normal should be, because it shouldn't be what it was before.
Yeah, I think about, like, you know, one of the things that we even talked about here at home is, like, what are we going to do once everything is okay? Like, and I remember, like, I told Belen, like, the first thing I want to do is just go eat at a restaurant.
Right.
You know, but then, like, I also think about, like, Pat, this is something that's obviously near and dear to us. I don't know what the fighting game community does after COVID. Conventions in general.
Yeah.
You know? I think that might resurge. I really do.
No. I do. I think it absolutely will. I think that we will see a sharp snapback. I don't mean like it's not going to be a thing and nobody will be able to do anything or nobody will be interested in that. I think once we're past this, particularly when it comes to like gaming stuff, people are going to want to step out and they're going to go, I'm going to go do this thing. I'm going to go be around people. I'm going to go to a barcade or I'm going to go to a fighting game tournament and all of that. But like, at least for me, what I think about is, all these morons who won't wear masks could also potentially be the people that
won't vaccinate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like,
but I mean, people were traveling to Florida to get the vaccine until they started saying, oh, you know, hey, you're going to have to show your ID and prove that you're a Florida resident. Otherwise just go away. So, you know, I think that a lot of people are all fucking talk, and you guys, I still have some anti-vax contacts. Yeah. And when it comes down to it and they see what it is like to live in a world where you don't have a vaccine for something, it's changed a lot of perspectives.
Not enough.
Not enough, because some people are contrary simply for the point of being contrary.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think that there are people out there, and I'm sorry, I'm not interrupting you. I'll shut up after this, I promise. One of the biggest things that I have noticed during all of this is that there is a group of people in this country that somehow think or behave as if being contrarian somehow makes them more American. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly how they operate. Like, well, you know... Like one of the things I love hearing is, you know, I took an oath to the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Like they overemphasize domestic, right? Like, and like if you look at surveys, one of the things that you see that is readily apparent is that most Americans at this day and age don't fear something happening to us from people that aren't American. They're afraid of their neighbors. Yeah. They're afraid of their own, of their fellow countrymen. And I think part of that comes from this, you know, what has sort of precipitated and made COVID worse, which I think is two specific things, is Teresa, to your point, is that contrarian bullshit, which again, I firmly believe there's just people out there that feel like it makes them somehow more American to be the person that, you know, doesn't want to follow along, you know? But I think it also shows how inherently selfish most Americans have become. And that's really a problem for us to be able to continue forward, because we also have, at this point, we have a group of people in our country, like a third of our country has been radicalized.
Mm-hmm.
And radicalized against just being normal. Yeah. You know, and I know that sounds like fucking ridiculous to say out loud, but I mean, I really believe that it's true. You have a third of the country who is radicalized. You have a third of the country that's indifferent. And then you have another third of the country that is just like, we have to do everything that we can. And so I do think about that. Like, you know, we get the vaccine. I mean, think about it. You had that dipshit in Texas, the lieutenant governor, that was like, I'd be willing to die for the economy. Well, step the fuck up, grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what the fuck? Well,
and that's the thing. We have sacrificed so many people, so many lives, so many of our brothers and sisters on the altar of capitalism.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's happened here. Yeah. And it also brings up ethical questions about how we spend our money. If we want to start going down that rabbit hole, and let's not, because it'll end up being like, you know, a drunken middle of the night conversation in college where we have time to wax philosophical and pretend that we don't all have things to do in the morning. But we do.
But you know, what's interesting is I do wonder, you know, thinking about that as far as gaming is, like, what does that do for natural things where people congregate, right? Mm-hmm. But then also, you know, we have seen over the last couple of years, right, like this really bad backlash to crunch. Look at this latest thing with CD Projekt Red. Like, I don't know if you guys listened to their investor phone call, but no. That shit was hilarious, because on their investor phone call, one of the devs that worked on the team for Cyberpunk basically brought up, like, don't you think it's a little hypocritical for you guys to have us make this game that's essentially about giving the finger to the man, and then you guys had us work overtime and crunch and do all of these things that we're not supposed to do just so we could ship out this game that is about giving the finger to authority?
And like, so close.
Yeah.
So close.
You know, and I was just like, God damn. Like, the funny part about that is like, that reminds me of like what you would expect Americans to do.
Yeah.
Is ask a question like that. Whereas, you know, I feel like a lot of what we see in the gaming space, especially, is like, I know you want to fuck me over, and I'm okay with that. Just give me the thing that I want, you know? And I think that's the other part of like thinking about this podcast and the stuff that we're into. It's like, there's just, there wasn't that much of that, you know, in a different era of gaming. Like, you know, you had to put out, like, don't get me wrong, there are plenty of dog shit games. I'm not trying to rose colored glasses this thing, but day one patches, you would never have a game like Cyberpunk, you know, in the 16-bit or even 32-bit era. Take the complexity out of it, right? It would just be, they couldn't get away with this because they know it would fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Look at people who did put out shit games.
Yeah.
Can anybody see Superman 64?
Remember,
we don't forget.
Yeah, do you remember Acclaim? Do you remember LJN?
Oh, God.
Oh.
Which, you know, eventually ended up, everybody just said LJN stood for Let's Just Not. You know? So, but like, think about that. Like, you know, you put out enough bad games, people weren't fucking with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas now it's like this sort of weird situation where it's like, we'll put out something bad, but we promise we'll make good on it. And I do think you are seeing some sort of corporate shift here, because like, Ubisoft pushed back a bunch of their games. They've started to redesign certain things, but even stuff like Watch Dogs Legion, you know, that they pushed back, still got released in this absolutely fucked up state, you know? And so it does kind of beg the question, like, when is this going to stop? You know? And I think that's the other thing that makes some of this old school gaming so appealing, because especially if you get into like ROM hacking, you can make any of these games whatever you want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's like, you know, I've seen like quality of life ROM hacks. Like, in fact, speaking of Phantasy Star, like I saw a ROM hack out there that gives you 4 times the XP. So, and lowers the encounter rate. So if you really just want to play it for the fucking story, you can.
Yeah.
You know, which is, it's one of those ironic things. Cause like, you know, you kind of had that as just a base option in something like Bravely Default, you know,
mm-hmm.
Chrono Trigger, you know, there was a lot of stuff like different localization patches and things like that, where you could, you know, it would change up the game, stick in the newer translation, but still keep some of the Woosley stuff that was there from when he did it. So there's a lot of options too, with these old style games, old style. That's not what I meant. With these older games that are out there, you know, and you can tailor them to how you want. So like, even if it's just like some old game that was just a super pain in the ass to play, but it's something you wanted to go back to, you can find a quality of life hack for it. That's going to just make it an even more enjoyable experience. And then there's the opposite end of that, where people have stuff where it's like, let's make this hard as balls.
You know? Yeah.
And people do that too. Whereas, you know, again, and even then, that's a choice that you make. It's not here's a game that really should be 20 hours and it's 60 because that's what we wanted to do. And we want to prey on that FOMO. We want to work your ass to stick all of these things on the map that you're going to feel compelled to deal with and all of that shit. You know, there just wasn't very much of that at all. And I think that makes a big difference. And I do think, tying that into like the COVID stuff, it's just like, I don't think I can sit here, and I'm a guy that's got a tremendous backlog that bothers him. But I think, you know, this, especially with COVID, it's like, it's okay to put a game down. I don't need it to fucking finish this shit. You know, if I'm not enjoying it, there's no reason to force myself.
Right. And something that's not putting you in a good frame of mind either. Just let that shit go for a little bit. Maybe pick it up later. There's always later, usually.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'll tell you what, man, like, it was, I went through this when I was playing Sekiro. Like, I enjoyed that game, but it's for masochists, you know, and I'm a little bit older, so my fucking reflexes aren't as good. But you can't put a game in front of me where there's a parry system and not have me get through that just because of playing Street Fighter 3 Third Strike for so long. Like,
we really gotta get you playing Phantasy Star Online too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's on my list, man. It's on my list. I gotta find the time. Hopefully, you know, on a personal level. You know, we lost 2 people on my team because they changed the scope of what we were doing. So, and instead of having them slowly transition off, it was pretty immediate. So we're just picking up the work from them. I am hoping to God by the end of this month, maybe the first, second week of February, things will have finally slowed down and I can get my life back. But like, just the other day, I had to rewrite a whole app that I would normally have 2-3 weeks to do. I had to do it in 2 days. You know, so it's just, and again, I'm not complaining. It's not like they're forcing this on me. It's just, this is the reality of the situation, and it's temporary, and I like my job. So, you know, I'm not going to be like, fuck off. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm sure my wife would be extremely upset with me as well. you know, but it's, you know, my time, man, is just so much more valuable. And I think that at the end of the day, right, like when it comes to work, especially, work won't love you back, you know?
It won't.
So do that, you know, spend the time with people that you care about and spend time doing the stuff that you want to do, because, you know, we're all limited in that sense. You know, eventually everybody's going to fucking, God, this is so morbid, everybody's going to fucking hit the dirt. You know what I mean? But, and I would hate to be like on my fucking deathbed. Nobody's going to be like on their deathbed, man, I wish I'd worked more.
I should have finished that TPS report.
Right. Right. Exactly. It's going to be thinking about stuff like, Pat, like with me and you, like going to Evo. I did this. I did this. I traveled. I fucking read all of these things that were interesting that expanded my mind. I played all of this stuff that made me look at things differently and gave me these experiences and all of that. And I think, at least for me, at the end of the day, I feel like there's a lot more to mine as far as those experiences go in the past, as opposed to, you know, what we're looking at now. Because most everything nowadays just seems so hollow.
It can. Yeah.
You know, like I went back the other day after we talked about Sonic, and I fired, because I never really played that much of Sonic Mania, but I really enjoyed what I had played. And I just went back and just played it for maybe 35 minutes. And there's more joy in like the first four levels of that game than I feel like most games that have been released in like the last 5 years.
Now you know why I gave it Game of the Year.
Yeah. And it's just like, it, especially because I loved some of the transitions in it where it's like, here's the old school music. And here are the levels that are kind of similar to what you played before. And then here's our take on it. And you feel that distinct difference, like doing the industrial zone or everything, spending half the fucking time going backwards was like,
oh God. Yeah.
Wow. I would not have thought about that, but yeah. Yeah. I see exactly what they're fucking doing here. You know, so yeah, good times, man. So, and that's what I'm gonna be doing, is going back through this old stuff, and it's probably what I'm gonna keep doing, because until I'm finally comfortable fucking just sitting down here and doing stuff, or kicking my family off of the TV and stuff.
That's, that's easier said than done.
Yeah, no shit. So we went everywhere on this podcast.
I think we did.
It was a good show.
Yeah.
So I think we've definitely got one at this point. So if you have any questions or comments, you can hit us up at thegamerswithoutborders@gmail.com. Once again, that is thegamerswithoutborders@gmail.com. You can also support us on Patreon, where you can suggest once a month a topic for us to cover with, you know, as long as we haven't covered it recently, or, and as long as it's on brand for us, and also get access to early access unedited episodes if you can put up with my insufferable stuttering. So with that having been said, I've been Patrick Mifflin alongside Teresa Sammons, Lee Lamb, and Kayla Owen. We will see you next time.